everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to the iZombie After Show. We are finally back, and tonight we are recapping Season 3, Episode 1, Heaven Just Got a Little Bit Smoother. Stay tuned.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We had to cue him with Blaine's song, guys. He sang a few tonight. Guys, I have some severely bad news. I am the only host tonight. The only one. I know, we are back. It's been a year. I can't believe it. I almost forgot everything that happened. But we are back, and it is Season 3, Episode 1. Heaven Just Got a Little Bit Smoother. Right off the top, you guys, I'm Hannah Pritchard. You all can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, at TheHotShotDude. I will try my best, if you are following along tonight, to look at your tweets. But listen, I'm going to be talking to myself all evening, so I'll try to get you out of here as soon as possible. Bear with me. It's going to be great. I took a lot of notes. We're going to recap the whole thing and see what we can even remember from last season, because I'm going to be honest with you all. I barely remembered anything. I don't know about you. Maybe some of you all binged. Y'all can fill out the blanks for me. I would absolutely love that. All right, let's get started. So right off the top, you guys, if you guys remember, we ended last season with a crazy massacre. We remember Rob Thomas's brains being eaten. No, that is not Rob Thomas the writer. That is Rob Thomas the singer. Yes, but they did eat his brains, and he did a nice little cameo, and it was lovely that they gave us that. So at the beginning of the show, we have this new character, Vivian. I think we got a little bit of her in the last season. But she blows up all the bodies, so nobody has to worry about explaining all of that. That was lovely. Also, we talk a little bit about Mr. Boss kidnapping Peyton. I don't know about you guys, but for a hot second, I couldn't even remember who Mr. Boss was. As far as I remember, he was Blaine's boss. He was the person that Blaine answered to. And I don't know about you guys, but I completely forgot about Blaine and Peyton. We all know how I feel about Blaine. We all know how I feel about Peyton. But we all know how I feel about Blaine and Liv. So right off the top, I was a little bit upset about the reminder that Peyton and Blaine are actually the ones that are together at the moment. And Ravi was upset about it too, which broke my little heart. Also, Drake was currently Liv's boyfriend when we left the last season. But she had to kill Drake in this past episode. Yep, shot his brains out. I think she said 4 times. Yeah, forgot about that. Lovely. But I don't know about you guys. Drake was wonderful. Drake was great. I thought they were a lovely little couple, but still, I'm all about Liv, right? So let's get to it. Also, Blaine is human. I don't know about you guys. Forgot about that as well. But he's still trying to look like a zombie. All right, what else are we missing? Major is currently a zombie. That's another side note. And Vivian. So let's talk a little bit about Vivian, who is this new character that I don't really remember being introduced in the last season. But at the beginning, Vivian is private military contact lady, the one who saved their asses, according to Peyton. Thank you, Peyton, for clarifying that, because I had no idea who she was. For a second, I thought that she was the one that hooked up with Blaine for a hot minute. But I think that's wrong. So great. These are the new things thus far for this season. I gave you guys a little bit of a recap, or myself a little bit of a recap. Thank you guys again for bearing with me. This is going to be a hilarious after show. The new stuff we are learning right now is Vivian's plan that Seattle is going to be the capital of a zombie homeland. Yeah. Okay, so that's what's happening. Rob Thomas described, I looked up some things as to what Rob Thomas is saying, the main themes are in this upcoming season, because in the past, I know it's been a lot that we've had to do these like kind of procedurals in the midst of all of this other zombie drama, but we've had to keep up with Babs and all these different cases and Liv eating the brains from that and Ravi taking in all of these new dead bodies and her extracting the brains. But apparently this season is more geared towards potentially a war between zombies and humans, which I totally dig. We all knew we were heading in that way. Major may be a soldier, which we all kind of wondered, and we're going to get to that at the end because that was like peppered in right there at the last minute. But right off the top, we're presented with the idea that Vivian is trying to create Seattle as this home base for all of the zombies. And she wants it to be a zombie-friendly city. And she wants to know if Liv and everybody else are going to be on Team Zombie or on Team Humans. And nobody really knows off the top which one may be the safe bet. or the better bet, or which one actually has the better for all or the best interest for everyone, which we get to there at the end. But I'm going to try my best to recap as this happened because I think we're all playing catch up with everything. It's been a year. So right off the top, we have Donnie. Welcome back, buddy. Or Scotty, whoever knows, because he played them both, and I can't remember which one died. I'm pretty sure they said Donnie, but when I looked it up on IMDb, it said Scotty, so I'm a little bit confused as to who he's playing right now, but I think it's Donnie. For all of you watching, please let me know. Correct me on anything I am wrong about, because nobody else is here to tell me otherwise, right? All right. Oh, right off the top, so with Donnie, we're having Donnie and Blaine have a little chit-chat conversation about business. I don't really remember the business lowdown and what was actually happening at the moment, so everything that they were saying was ever so slightly a little bit over my head. The only thing that I thought was funny out of the conversation was Donnie's, or Scotty's, cracks about Blaine, calling him your TV good, which I took that as because I like to think that Rob Thomas peppers in all these little side notes and jokes, and he's very witty and things that may happen on camera, off the camera, and tries to make the audience giggle a little bit and see the actors as who they are. So I have a feeling that maybe that's something that they kid David Anders about. Well, David Anders, you know how I feel about you. I think you are absolutely splendid, delightful, handsome, attractive, wonderful in all your zombie makeup. I love your baby blues. And I think you are good enough to be in all the Oscar-winning films. You are delightful, buddy, and we would love to have you back in the studio. Maybe then I would have somebody to talk to, right? And by the end of this conversation, Donnie quits on Blaine. Cool, Donnie. Blaine's moving to the good side, so don't hold him back. Even though I know that Blaine was having a little bit of a moment of being like, put in your 2 weeks notice, and seemed like he may have all these other intentions, and maybe, I don't know, still have a sneaky job that he may end up doing behind everybody else's back. Maybe Blaine still is bad, but I think that he's turning over a new leaf, and he may be good, and maybe he'll end up being Liv's love interest at some point. That's just my feeling. Then it jumps to Donnie pulling some dead bodies out of the freezer where him and Blaine used to work, or their headquarters. I don't know about you guys, and I am hoping that you all tell me, but the body that seemed to come alive or started to come alive that Donnie pulled the sheet down to, I had no idea who that was. Did anybody have any idea right off the bat by recognition who that was? I did not. For a moment, I was like, maybe that's Blaine's dad, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he killed him at the end and did freeze his body. Maybe I'm wrong. I was a little confused that maybe I was wrong by the end of it. I have no idea. So we will talk more about that later on as we get to the body again in the hairdryer. But yeah, at this point, I had no idea who that was and still don't. Then we are jumping to Major and Ravi rolling up to their house. Yes, they live together. Did anybody else forget? I did for a slight second, but I remembered quickly. And everything with the Chaos Killer is immediately brought back to the surface and brought back up again in the show, which I also forgot about. But when we did leave it off, Major had kind of come out in the open about being the Chaos Killer. I want to say that it was written up in a newspaper. I don't exactly remember, but apparently as the episode progresses, we do find out that his face is recognizable to the city as potentially being the Chaos Killer. I don't really know why he's allowed to roam around in public. Somebody else please fill me in on that, or I'm just going to have to binge all of the episodes. Which I'm fine doing that. That'll be a nice, relaxing day. But yes, yeah, somebody has spray painted on the front of their house Chaos Killer. So there's that. Then we are going to meet Viv. So everybody, Babs does know now that Liv is a zombie and Major is a zombie and Blaine once was a zombie. I'm assuming that Blaine and Babs are going to smooth things over, but we all know that they have a rough history. Oh, and also for those of you tuning in who have not watched past seasons of The After Show, we call Clive Babs because his last name's Babineau. We like the nickname Babs. Lovely. Get with it. Don't. I don't care. I'm going to keep calling him Babs. Good talk. So we go to meet Viv to see what exactly she meant by Seattle becoming a safe haven for the zombies and if they are going to be on the zombie side or the human side to see where their loyalty lies. And as we go into this meeting, we see these soldiers running like they might as well be at a military base, et cetera, whatnot, whatever you call it. Doing this little chant. I can't remember all the words, but it ended with, "You can't shoot me in the eye." So right then we know that this is an army of zombies. So we are aware at this point that Vivian is creating a army of zombies. So walking into this meeting, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? I don't really know. I still have feelings about Viv, but she did kind of help them out in the finale of the last episode, like saving them all, kind of. But there was a whole lot happening, big war, shootout, a lot of people died. So I don't know, but, you know, war, who knows? Let me read my notes and see where we're going from here. I wrote down loving that Babs is joking about the brains they eat. Oh, yes, because in that meeting, he cracked some little joke about them taking on, or I think it was walking into the meeting, about how they take on the personalities of whatever brains they eat. And I love that Babs is, like, jumping in on the zombie lingo and is, he's kind of, like, fallen into it nice and easily. He's not being really judgmental. He doesn't seem shell-shocked. I think he did a little bit at the end of the last season. I don't remember perfectly, but right now he's cracking some jokes about it. And he already seems like one of the zombie homies, even though he's not a zombie. He's handling it better than Peyton did. I also wrote down, well, this meeting reminds us who Viv is, but that's also because that was that moment that I thought that Viv was who Blaine was sleeping with at one point in time. Remember that cougar he was sleeping with for a little bit and he turned her into a zombie, but basically kind of also like, I don't know, I think kind of like his sex zombie is what he was using her for. Whatever. But they're not the same person. I was just struggling. So great. Also, another funny joke. I love Rob Thomas. They're always peppering in these funny little jokes and play on words and all these things. And I wish that I would have taken more notes on the characters that they use this time, but we didn't really have a case. And that's usually when they play into all these different names that kind of have everything in common. We didn't really have much of that in this episode, but we did have the company name of Vivian's, empire that she's creating called Fillmore Graves, which I just think is kind of hilarious, like Fillmore Graves. Y'all already caught it, but you know, I'm still gonna chuckle about it. And she talks about what exactly their plan is and that their biggest fear is D-Day, and that's Discovery Day for the zombies. And that's basically what they are planning their war, or preparing their zombie military for, is the potential for this D-Day when everybody in the world or in Seattle or whatnot, the United States, learns about zombies. And their belief, naturally, is that humans are not going to take to that well. Because, I mean, why would they? There are people out there that are eating their brains. I mean, granted, they may be eating people who are already dead's brains, but not all of them are. So, naturally, humans are probably going to react in a way that they would like the zombies dead. But those of us who watch the show, we love all of the zombies. We think they're all lovely. So, naturally, I think we all want to be on the side of Fillmore Graves and want to make sure that they do not kill our precious Liv, or Major, or Blaine, because I still think that he will become a zombie again. If not, he's going to keep wearing the makeup like he's one. And I'm fine with that, because those baby blues, right? We also learn at this moment that Fillmore Graves has the formula for Supermax. I don't know if we were introduced to the idea of Supermax in last season. We definitely know about Max Rager and all of that, but now it is the end of Max Rager because our dearly and beloved Wings is now dead. But if you guys watch 13 Reasons Why, he's currently on that, and I also do the after show for that on Friday morning, so you should watch it. Great, good talk. But yeah, Wings is no longer with us. Neither is Max Rager. But now there is this idea of Supermax that apparently would make up the ultimate zombie, even more intense than the ones that Max Rager were creating, etc. So that does actually get me a little bit concerned with Viv's plan. I don't really like the idea of manufacturing more intense zombies that are, their sole goal is to destroy humans or whatever is trying to attack them. I don't really like the idea of that plan. That seems a little hateful, and I would like to think that the zombies are just trying to protect themselves, and that's more so what Fillmore Grave should be a part, but, you know, that's, you know, the lover in me. Great. Let's move on. Babs is not feeling the war, same as I am not. I had a lot of question marks in my notes during this little meeting. Mine says, Babs, war, bunch of question marks. Zombie Island, bunch of question marks, because that is what Vivian is trying to create. Apparently a zombie island somewhere, I don't know where. I'm at this moment, I don't believe that that's Seattle that she's claiming. She is also creating a separate zombie island, like their extra little safe haven, which their own little utopia. Speaking of the utopia drug, you know what I mean? Which I still don't really understand what that is. Did any of us really understand what that is? That's another topic that I'm sure that we'll get to at another point. Anyways, also, zombie schools. She wants to create schools for zombie children. What? There are zombie children? Terrifying. And about that moment, we see a class of zombie children walk through the building and have this sad little moment where Babs recognizes one of the children, Wally. Breaks my heart for poor little Babs. Him having to learn that this little kid, this little innocent who apparently was his neighbor, is this little zombie. A little bit heartbreaking. How did all these kids become zombies? I think that they described it to us, something about scratching of the nails, but like, why would you want to turn all these children zombies if they don't need to be? That's another one of my concerns about this whole Fillmore Graves and this military thing. I feel like they're over creating zombies that are unnecessary. But maybe that's just me getting back into the groove of iZombie, and like I should be like, yes, all the zombies. I don't know. We'll figure it out. The one thing I did love about little Wally is his comment to Liv, you should tan and die. Because God love Liv. I mean, just rocking her look. I support it. I love it. You go, girl. I like the pale skin. I like the blonde hair. Leave it. Whatever. And then we got Viv being like, yeah, you really should. Whatever. Viv's kind of... I'm not a huge fan of her, but that's fine. From there, we are moving on to Clive is feeling a little compromised. I have no idea why I wrote that down, but I'm assuming at the end of this meeting with Fillmore Graves and Little Miss Vivian, yeah, it would make sense to me that Babs may feel a little bit compromised. I mean, he just learned about zombies. He just learned that his friends are zombies. Now he's learning that there is a war. He's also, or potentially going to be a war between zombies and humans. He's a human. He's also a detective. He can't really turn this in. He wants to protect his city, but also wants to protect his friends. Yeah, that sounds like compromise, and I am assuming that's what I meant by that. I hope you guys are enjoying this after show as much as I am enjoying it. But Major, oddly, is super into it. But I think that we did learn from Major, even before he became a zombie, he likes this whole war combat thing. I mean, remember when he went into the meet cute? Yeah, right? That's what it was called. Meet cute shop, just like blowing people up like crazy before he was even a zombie. Major, I've always just had my concerns about you, buddy. Like, you're so sweet sometimes, but you're real, like, roided up other times. Anybody else agree with me? I know we got our Major fans, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Major's a little intense for me, but sweet, but I don't know, buddy. Then, we have this lovely little moment with Ravi and Liv. I love seeing them back together again, back down in the lab. And we have a moment of Ravi and Liv grieving over their heartache together. At this moment, though, Liv is still on these, like, soldier brains, I think is what they are. So she's not really feeling anything. She's just kind of moving tough and a little bit numb to the fact that she just killed her boyfriend, which I guess they were dating pretty long. Well, it doesn't matter. You'd have heartbreak if you killed your boyfriend, regardless. That seems like a weird statement coming out of my mouth now that I said it. But anyways... Ravi is not on these brains, and he is very upset about Blaine and Peyton and him just discovering that relationship, as Blaine, you know, explained to the cops or explained to Vivian why Mr. Boss may take Peyton. And that hurt Ravi, and he's still dealing with that heartache. And I really feel for Ravi. And obviously, I would rather him be with Peyton because I still want Blaine to be with Liv. I know it gets on your all's nerves, but I know I got my Bliff fans out there rooting with me, right? Great. oh my gosh, speaking of Blaine and what I want from him with Liv and how much I just love Blaine in general, I am just now realizing, you guys, that I have the live chat up right here. I can't multitask very well, so I'm sorry if you all are reading it. Yeah, I can't read it and multitask, so I apologize, you guys. I'm just going to get worse if I try to do it, but thank you guys so much for commenting in. But then we jump down to Blaine having a little moment to himself, singing Smooth by Santana. How much did you all miss Blaine and his singing and his piano playing? I missed it so very much. It is so sexual to me. Blaine, you are absolutely wonderful. Great. Good talk. Peyton then comes down and they have a little bit of chats about Mr. Boss. About this time is when I started to remember who Mr. Boss was to Blaine and him kidnapping Peyton. And I'm assuming that's when you all did as well, unless you all binged, because you probably did, because you're better than me. So good for you all. But in this moment, the biggest thing that I learned is that Mr. Boss is still alive. Not all of the bad guys are dead. Maybe Wings is, but Mr. Boss is still out there, and he still has the potential to control Blaine, even though Blaine is trying to turn over a new leaf. So that is where we are with that. And with Blaine turning over a new leaf, we see him talking very, very sweetly to Peyton. Talking about if she's ever feeling jumpy or anything, to give him a call. And then he asks in such like a high school, middle school way, if they are a couple. I thought that was really cute, but we never actually got an answer from Peyton. Even though we do see her hip Blaine up later on in the episode. So maybe that's a good sign. But I grasped from him singing later in the episode, which we'll also get back to as I go through step by step. It kind of gave me the impression that he was a little bit grieving or felt a little confused about where things left off between him and Peyton. But I'm sure we'll get to that as the season progresses. Then we have Major going into the coffee shop. At first when he walks up, I was a little confused. He had that weird look at the barista. She had a weird look at him. I thought maybe there was a history there. I was so very clearly wrong. She just recognized him as the Chaos Killer, which was hilarious to me that they used a coffee shop moment to bring that back up in his recognition by the public, because everybody knows that most people's biggest pet peeve is Starbucks people writing your name incorrectly on the Starbucks cup. I have way too many people and way too many friends who post way too many Instagram pictures about all the wrong spellings that Starbucks people do. I think they do it on purpose. Yeah. But this wasn't a misspelling. They just chose a different name for him. Made him feel real bad about himself, and he had to leave. But let's be honest, he wouldn't have been able to taste the coffee anyways, because he needs it to be spicy. So, Major, nice try, buddy. That's all I got for that. Then we go back to Ravi and Babs down in the lab, and we bring back up the conversation of the cure. So, if we remember, always, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first cure that they had tried potentially caused death. I think they tried it with Major, and that's what ended up making him a zombie, as Liv had to save him from this first cure. Except, no, that's not right, because then that would have... Anyways, guys, correct me on that. The first cure would have killed them eventually. They'd be human again, then they'd die. Whatnot. Ravi created the cure too, which is what Blaine was given. The side effect is that it does cause some amnesia. This is why Blaine, I think, or I remember, is kind of turning over this new leaf. He doesn't really remember everything that happened. And I know there was controversy as to how much Blaine was pretending that he didn't remember, to seem like he was trying to become a good guy, and how much he actually did. I think this is kind of the moment where we get some clarification that it definitely does cause amnesia, or I think that's what the show is trying to tell us, and that is what Ravi is trying to tell us. Regardless, Ravi is trying to make up a fix for that, I guess we should say. I think Ravi used better terms for that. But something that can help the amnesia. In this moment, he takes Babs over to a little testing area, which shows a brain glowing up, which was a really cool little TV effect, which I enjoyed. But yeah, that new thing will reverse the memory loss. So I guess we will see from that what happens to Blaine if he takes this reversal cure and gets his memory back. I guess we'll actually learn if he did remember, didn't remember, is playing with them. And what remembering would actually do to him if he would switch back the other way and rejoin Johnny in, or Scotty, whatever. Being a bad guy and working for Mr. Boss or trying to overtake Mr. Boss and all of those crazy complications that constantly we are running in circles about and trying to understand. The show is so complicated, but I love it. So great. We then have Liv busting in to talk to Babs and tell him about a radio show that is happening with Chuck Byrd, who is outing everything that happened in the crazy bloodbath of the zombies, and Wings and Rob Thomas and brains being eaten and Drake being shot and all of this stuff that could potentially out all of the zombies. Apparently there is a security guard who made it out and is now on this Chuck Byrd talk show and wanting to explain what he saw. When Babs and Liv head over that way, basically, the only thing the security guard got out was that they have red eyes and that they were eating a lot of. At this moment, I was like, if they stop him right now, it's just going to sound like he's describing a bunch of angry, hungry stoners, which I was kind of hoping that they were going to stop him right before that. But then he did say eating brains, which was a bummer. I thought that would have been really funny, but it was still funny to me. Anyways, yeah, so a little bit of an outing. But not completely, because he could have just looked crazy. Listeners could have thought that maybe he was just crazy. And as they're driving in the car back, listening to the talk show, they do describe it. I know that I wrote it down. They do describe it on the talk show as a potential zombie apocalypse. But then Bab says right after that, they never said zombies, but no, they did. They said zombie apocalypse, so that kind of confused me, and Clive corrected, saying that it was normal people who eat brains, because I said that on the show. So zombies, buddy. So that is potentially the start of D-Day. I think that we are learning, capping off our season. Immediately in the car, right after, Liv starts crying, and we see that the brains are starting to wear off, and we start to see Liv get a little bit emotional and have all the feelings about Drake dying and, well, her killing Drake. Must be a lot of feelings happening, a lot of guilt, a lot of grief, many emotions I can't even imagine, and I hope you all can either. And then Babs takes her back to the lab, lays her on a little couch, looks like it's a little therapy sesh. She looked a little drunk to me. Did anybody else think so? Did I slightly miss that? Did she drink a little bit? They pushed a bucket towards her. Maybe they had some drinks and I kind of missed that moment. But yeah, and it was really cute because then Babs like kneels down with her and he reminds her that as guilty as she is feeling, she did save his life. And he still stands by her and he loves her. And it's a cute little moment between Babs and Liv. And I think we all kind of miss that. And I know a lot of people think that maybe they'll end up together. I don't stand by that side, but it was a cute moment and I get why some of you all support that. Then we cut back to Peyton on the phone with a friend, Lindsay, who, as far as I know, we had never met before. Lindsay, college friend. I think they said Philly or Pittsburgh is where she's at. I'm not 100% positive. You all can let me know if you really think it's that important. And she warns Peyton of potential nasty tweets, is what she says to Ravi on her voicemail, which I think is cute that she calls Ravi. For him, though, he's not ready for it. He lets it go to voicemail, which I totally understand. I'm not positive as to why she chose to call Ravi and what these tweets are about, which I suppose that we will learn about in the next episode. And then we get that wonderful moment again of Blaine singing again on the piano. You Keep Me Hanging On by Diana Ross, hence why we opened the after show with it. In that moment, that's when I kind of thought that he was grieving a little bit, having a hard time with potentially Peyton not clarifying whether they were a couple or not. But in that moment, she calls him, and she breaks up that feeling by asking him if he wants to go grab some food with her. So maybe she will explain to him about the tweets, and we will learn through that, because Ravi is probably not going to call her back. And we will see Blaine become more of her confidant, which sounds great, and it's cute, and it's sweet, and it's nice to see Blaine have a heart. Bum for Ravi. Bum for myself. Because that's not the couple for me. Anyways. We then go back to that dead body starting to come alive. I still don't know who it is. Somebody please help me on that. Is it going up on there? No, I don't see it. Anyways, somebody let me know after the show. Help me fix that. I hope you guys recognize who it was. But it was hilarious watching Donnie with a hairdryer. God love Donnie / Scotty. Just the cutest little skittish stoner seeming man just blow drying that little dead body with a little hair dryer that didn't look that powerful to begin with, just heating that body up. But the body starts talking to him, talk about Blaine freezing him, what exactly was going on, where exactly Blaine and Donnie Scotty stand at the moment. And they talk about joining forces to get back at Blaine or take over everything or whatnot, start their own business. I don't really know, but to me, this sounds like the sub-army forming or the issue to the zombies despite the humans. It sounds like the war between the zombies is what this is going to turn into, in my opinion. And that he will create his own little war. He has the opportunity to unfreeze all of these dead bodies. I don't think there's that many because I'm pretty sure Major was the one who had the most. But Blaine does have a few in that lab. So maybe this is the opportunity for him to unfreeze those, create these crazy large giant people, which Blaine had around and then killed and froze. And they will, I don't know, try to mess things up for everybody. And will probably actually end up being the ones to out the zombies completely. Because they don't seem like the smartest thinking out of all of the characters. But I enjoy them so great. And I hope you all do too. And I'm sure you do. It's why they keep being brought back on. Sorry guys for all the weird noises. I'm just trying to fill the dead air as I sit here by myself. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for bearing with me again. We are then introduced to a new character who Ravi does say we were introduced to at one point or we referenced her at one point in previous seasons, but we meet Dr. Cups, who rolls in a new body, who was apparently previously Ravi's old boss at the Center for Disease Control. She fired him. They are on great terms, apparently. She reminds me a lot of Viv, and she's got a bob. And I don't know about you all, I've talked about this on other after shows, but generally women with red bobs in television or movies are going to be the bad character. You know what I'm saying? I don't trust her. I don't trust her. I don't trust Viv that much either, but I sense that we're going to have to. So I'm going to guess that Dr. Cups is going to be a little shady, and she's already asking a little bit too many questions about how long the bodies have been dead for. Don't trust her very much. But they are pulled away because there is a murder, which kind of throws us back or gives us a little bit of, you know, nostalgia to the cases of previous seasons and what normally the episodes center around. So we get them back on a crime scene. But unfortunately, this one, well, not unfortunately, but this one is a little bit different. It's not so much providing new brains for Liv to have and how she's going to be acting the entire episode. Instead, it gives this hint to the fact that they are being caught on to. It comes across as a warning sign because when they show up to the crime scene, the victim has had their nails pulled off and they have a Max Rager can in their pocket, which we learned from Viv before about pulling off their nails and using them to scratch people. So we know that this is a house full of zombies, and we also learned that it is Wally's family, which Clive was already there coming out of Wally's room. But fortunately, we know, or at least I think that we know, that Wally is alive because he's safe in the Fillmore Graves, I believe. But then they did jump to back at Fillmore Graves headquarters and Vivian going in to talk to the kids' class. They didn't show Wally in that classroom setting,
But I imagine that they were just going in to explain what had happened and let the students know what Wally was going through. Maybe I'm totally wrong and Wally was killed in this as well, but I really, really hope not. I would like to think that they would not do that to us with a child in the first episode, but maybe. I could be wrong about that or about many things that I am talking about, and that is totally fine if I am. First episode, we do what we can. At this moment, Clive is pissed, as he should be, and that is kind of the ending note of this episode, that Clive is ready to go to war for the zombies and protect and kind of revenge on Wally's death, or I don't know what the exact word is, but defend his honor, etc., or his life, whatnot. I guess from there, we can move on to predictions, shall we? I don't think I'm going to get the little noise for it, but that's totally fine. Just imagine predictions, 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 predictions. That wonderful noise. Great. So going into the end of the episode and moving into predictions, we did see the preview for next episode, which I don't think really gave us any predictions into the season, but it did show Major taking some teenage brains, which I totally enjoyed. I am so ready to see Major affected by all of these different zombie brains and how he is going to react. Because now that Blaine is not going to be the person that's reacting with Liv, which we never really got that much of, even though I had high hopes for it. We never really got to see them react on the same brains very often. But I think we are going to get to see Major and Liv react on the same brains, even though apparently they had like multiple stews of different brains and you could take your pick. But Major chose these adolescent, teenage, hormonal, I just give up. I can't really talk right now, you guys. It's great. Struggling. But we see him on these crazy little kid brains and he's acting like a little child and stomping out of the room and throwing temper tantrums. And I cannot wait to see him play that out. It looks absolutely hysterical and I'm ready for some serious laughs in this new season. I think it's what we love so much about the show is it is intense and it's witty and it's funny and it's smart and we love the characters and it's a great little plot line. So I'm stoked to see that. But with the predictions, Vivian, at the beginning, when they first show up to Fillmore Graves, mentions how she became a zombie, and she talks about using her husband's nails, who was a zombie, to scratch herself because she would rather have been a zombie than live without him. Following that, he leaves her. He never comes home. He is not confirmed to be dead, as far as we know, so I think we are going to see her husband again. And I don't think it is going to be a good thing. That is my first prediction. Second is Lindsay. I think we have all this room for all these new characters. We got Miss Dr. Cup. We have Viv, who's kind of slightly new, but mainly new. And I think that we're going to have this Lindsay character. I imagine if they brought her up in season one and she gave this information about Peyton being tweeted about, that we may meet her and see her again. And hopefully she is a cool, good character. I am going to predict that if we meet her, she may be a little bit zany, a little bit crazy, a little bit goofy, maybe potentially even a little bit annoying. I say bring it on. I think I'd like that. Blaine may hate her. Sounds great. Add some tension between the two. Sounds good. And I also predict that they will stand with the zombies, meaning Liv, Babs, Major, Blaine, Peyton, all of them. But I think that they kind of left us on that note at the end of the episode, especially when we see Major already running and training with the other soldiers. Going back to my idea that, you know, Major's seems a little roided up sometimes. He always wants to be on the defense and have a gun in his hand, which is fine, I suppose. But anyways, so I think that they will stand with them. But I do think that they'll have some issues with Major and how intense he gets into it. I think that they may have a little bit of an issue controlling Major, I guess I should say. I think that he's going to try to take charge of certain aspects of this zombie military and get a little bit out of control is a little bit of my concern. And You guys, I think that's about it. I think that's all that I have. Thank you guys so much. I know this is an insanely weird after show to come back to after a year, and it is just me left alone, but I promise next week we will have a full panel. We don't have all of our old people. Blake will be back with us, and we have two new people who are awesome, you guys, and Jared will be filling in every now and then when he can. He just has a crazy busy schedule. He's doing a lot of things, but I am stoked to be back with you guys. Normally, you guys, we try to give shout outs to everybody who tweets at us during the week. Also people who leave comments on YouTube and are a part of the live chat. We try to give shout outs to all of you guys. It's our way of paying back to you guys. We love that you guys stay tuned with us and have been hanging on for a year. I still get tweets from you guys in this off season. It's absolutely wonderful. I miss you guys so, so much. And I hope that all of you that are joining in for the first time or are even old fans, don't be exhausted that it was just me. It's going to be a full panel next week. Love you guys. This has been great. I'm excited for this season. Again, I am Hannah Pritchard. You all can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Hot Shot Dude. And I will see you all next week with the full panel. Lovely. This was great, guys. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.